Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to episode number 22 of the Abundant Life Podcast. I'm here with my good friend Sasso Mendez, and we have a special guest once again.
The Taquito.
She's back. All right.
Woo-hoo. Taquito came back for seconds.
Yes, yes. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And so yeah, we're glad to be back in the studio for this episode. We promised you guys last episode that we were going to do an episode on husbands. So we're going to get to the content here shortly. Let's get into taco talk. So
we had tacos last night, by the way.
Taco Tuesday, baby.
Yeah, we held to that tradition and had tacos.
But we also did something very special last night also. Sasso, what did we do?
We saw a movie.
It wasn't just a movie. We thought it was a movie. It's funny because yeah, I actually saw this on Saturday before, so I've seen it twice now. But it was actually a documentary, and we thought it was a movie, and it turned out to be a documentary. My wife was a little disappointed at
first.
Which
is a movie, though. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But it was really good. It was amazing. It was excellent.
Top five movies I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah, it was excellent.
So I won't tell you the other four.
So it's called Show Me the Father. It's done by the Kendrick brothers, and it's basically about earthly dads. Ultimately, it's about your heavenly father. Mm. So whether you had a dad or didn't have a dad, or had a bad dad, a good dad, maybe you were adopted into a family. This documentary was just amazing. It covered every base about dads, but ultimately, like I said, it talks about your heavenly father, and that's kind of the whole point of it.
Well, when you told me it's going to be a tearjerker, I expected, okay, maybe it's like Disneyland. I started with the train around the Disneyland before I go on a roller coaster just to get my feet wet, right? Just to kind of like get my adrenaline, my heart ready for such things. It's like you don't go right to the chili dog. You kind of brace yourself and then you go full bore. You have problems later. I won't discuss what the problems are, but all of you who ate the chili dogs before, you know where that leads to. But this one, in the first 5 minutes, I was already crying, like in the beginning credits. I was like, wow.
I thought I heard you blowing your nose over there, man. Like,
and I cried the whole time, pretty much. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not sobbing crying, but just, I mean, man, it was deep. If you go for entertainment, it's not for entertainment purposes, no. But it gets you to think in the impact fathers have, which is pretty scary for fathers. And
that was very powerful.
And my dad was there, and I asked my dad, like, hey, what? I mean, I was all impressed with the movie, and asked my dad, like, what do you think? He's like, oh, it's okay. And that sums up my whole childhood. Like, he scored 4 goals in a game. Like, hey, Dad, how did I do? And he's like, you're okay. You know, so, yeah, par for the course.
My dad would have been sobbing. I am my father's daughter. Yeah. Cry, very emotional, very empathetic. So my dad would have been sobbing and after.
Well, that's what Rebecca's mom said. She's like, I didn't like you before because you made Rebecca cry. And I said, everything makes Rebecca cry. That's not just me. Like, everything does. If you're around her for an hour, she's going to cry. That's just.
And I have very active tear ducts, yes.
Yeah. Onion, non-induced tear ducts.
But sure. It was very powerful, very impactful. We highly, highly, highly recommend it. So at the time of this recording, we are, I believe today is the 15th of September. So it's active in theaters right now, but I'm sure at some point it's going to make it over to DVD. I highly recommend.
I'll give it five tacos. Five out of five tacos.
Five out of five. There you go.
For that movie.
I like it. Yeah. We'll rate them in tacos, man. So that's Show Me the Father. I'm going to put a link into the show notes so that you can check it out. You can look at the trailer, but I recommend just go watch it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's $5 on Tuesday at a certain movie theater that I won't plug. Hit me up if you want to know what that is. I'll give you the discount code.
Awesome.
Taco Twins.
All right. Well, before we get into the content, I just want to mention really quick, be sure to visit us at abundantlife.fm. You can view all of our past episodes. You can get the show notes. You can also, if you look us up on like Apple Podcasts, you can subscribe. We're on Spotify. We're on Google, Amazon, iHeart. I don't know, a couple other ones that I can't think
of. That's all I can think of. Yeah, but there's a lot.
So anyhow, I do recommend you subscribe so that you are aware when we drop a new episode. Also, check us out on Instagram. We're going to try to get a little bit more active on Instagram. And check out Twitter. I also want to plug Sasso's blog. Check out stayinthefight.online, where he blogs every weekday. It's a it's a daily devotional, and they're awesome. So check it out. You can subscribe to that as well. You can get it in your inbox.
And on Instagram as well. I'm on Instagram now too.
Oh yeah.
Stayinthefight.online.
Yeah, on Instagram. So so check it out there. Go give him a like. Go follow. And so with that, I think we are...
And Ben, real quick, before I get into the topic, happy birthday to you. Ben celebrated, we won't say, but he celebrated in your business. 24 years. Times, we don't know. But anyway, God gave him another year of life. Praise on the September Lord. The 10th. So just, we had a good chicken wing time on your birthday. So I know Taco Talks done, so we're talking about wings now. So we had some wings on the 10th. It was very good.
It's funny, I had put on the same polo that I wore that day. On accident yesterday, and I was like, "Oh hey, there's some wing sauce on here still. This thing's dirty. I gotta put this in.
Let me look at this. Oh yeah, sweet red chili.
It's in the wrong pile.
Tasty.
It was the sweet habanero, man.
Sweet habanero. And then you had a little ranch on the other side. So you lick that first, and then lick the ranch. It's like, it's a perfect marriage.
And that's 100% true.
Very good. Well, awesome. So, well, we're gonna get into husbands today. Last week it was wives. So my wife Rebecca came on to kind of describe that piece. She's still here for accountability purposes to make sure we don't go off the rails. I always say sometimes it's a good friend is the bumper rails on the bowling alley, and it just keeps make sure your ball goes down the lane and doesn't go in the gutter. And that's kind of why Rebecca's here, to make sure I don't go in the gutter. But on the topic of husbands, we're talking about husbands loving your wives. And what a powerful topic. Yesterday we saw that movie, and we'll get into that the next podcast as a little teaser for how fathers are to be. But a big deal of what a father is how he treats his wife. And I think this is an important topic tonight, and it's going to be something that I can't say things that are not true, because I shouldn't anyway. But Rebecca's here. Her foot is still close enough to my shin where she may kick it. But let's go ahead and kick it off. We're going to focus on the role of the husband and just kind of what our role is as husbands, for you husbands listening out there, and for you wives that want to hold your husbands accountable. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now, we talked about the wife last week reverencing her husband, so I don't want to get into all that again. But there's a lot to unpack here just for the husband himself as we go through these verses. And I look at, as men, we love ourselves, and there are certain things. Ben's hair is combed. If you look at the reel, my hair is somewhat combed. I did shower today, actually, at lunchtime, because I care about myself. I brushed my teeth. And I made sure to be presentable and do things that because I love myself. And God's saying, hey, that same love you have for your wife for yourself is the same love you should have for your wife. Yeah. And this, because in all honesty, when you're married, you're one flesh. So you can't separate the two. That's why he said you left your mother and father, and you became one flesh. And you should love your wife as I love the church, first of all, as the example to you. And then secondarily, as an example to the world, as you love your wife, as you love yourself. And people don't realize that the home is a testimony to a lost world.
Yeah.
And we are to present a home that honors and glorifies Jesus Christ. Does our home or does your home show a picture to a lost world that is without blemish and is spotless? We saw a movie last night about fathers. And one of the parts of the movies, he said that he had met many Christians in his life. And he saw nothing different from Christians. So why would he desire to be a Christian? And the same thing in our marriages. So many times in our marriages, the husband takes a role of not loving their wives. And it's unbiblical, and it's not an example to a lost world. And we are commanded to first love as Christ loved the church. And what love did Christ have for the church is that he died for the church. And the Bible says, no greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for us. And even our church, I think as a man, if somebody comes in your home, we don't use our wife as a shield and say, hey, honey, go out there and see if it's okay. And if you don't come back, then, you know, I'm out, you know.
That'd be bad.
Yeah, that'd be bad. And there's certain times. And a quick story, they did a drive-by at our house next door.
Old house.
Our old house, sorry. Not where we live today, but our old house. And I would say about maybe 10 years ago. And I thought somebody's knocking on the door, and it's what it sounded like. It's like, and so I'm like, who is it? You know, my man voice, who is it? And Rebecca started laughing at me because of that. And then it went from that to like, you know, like it was crazy, like a movie was on. And I ran, I was going to the door to see who was banging on the door, I thought. And then I got to the door, and then I heard the bazooka, whatever it was. That was in Vietnam. And so I know my kids are in the front room, so I run to go. Just, I don't know, God gives you those instincts. And I started running to my kids' room to get both of them. And when I'm running in the hallway, all I see in front of me is a revolver. Rebecca slides it like Indiana Jones.
You're welcome.
Get in his hat. Oh, wow.
That's so awesome.
So I'm running by and in sync, not even skipping a beat. I just grab it and I go and get the kids and take them. And because I was concerned for my family, and Rebecca obviously was concerned. She was supposed to dial 911. She kept dialing 411. And
she get the latest info?
It was dark and we had a landline.
They're like, yes, it's a drive-by for your information. Yes, it's a drive-by. And so 911 had trouble coming. But that's, I mean, in the heat of the moment, I didn't really think about it. I just reacted to the situation. So did Rebecca. And we're like a wild machine. We never practiced this, you know, we're like Bonnie and Clyde. Just last, you know, the revolver went by.
Pretty proud of ourselves.
Yeah, I was like, wow, Rebecca was, wow. She's like, she lived in Avondale in the bad parts. She like learned some things over there. You know what I mean? Like, wow, she has some street smarts. And that's to say, just the love that we had for our children, the love that I have to protect the home, not even thinking about it. And that's the love even more so that Jesus Christ had for me, that died for me and loved me. And do a challenge to myself and to you fathers out there, or to you husbands out there, is do you love your wife with that love? Do you love your spouse as Christ loved the church? And you may say, yeah, absolutely, I love my wife as Christ loved the church. But what would your wife say? Mm. Right? Every husband thinks their marriage is a 10, and their wife's like, eh, like my dad, eh, it's okay. You know, and what does she say about that? I bring up some notes in love here. Do you do things to gain points? I've heard many men say this phrase like, hey, if I take care of the kids this weekend, I know like next weekend I can go camping with the guys and she's not going to bother me. I'm getting points in my account. And love is not about getting points. It's not for me to say, hey, I'm going to do this for her so she can do this for me. It's saying I'm going to do this for her because I love her regardless of what she does for me. That's what love is. Amen. It's not about getting points. It's not about getting on her good side. I should please God. And if pleasing God gets on her good side, great. And if it doesn't, then maybe my wife needs to confess and on some things. Do you cherish your wife? Do you do things to show her that you care and love her? I don't see any verse, maybe in the Maccabees, that talks about gaining points in Scripture. I got been a Book of Enoch. I don't know if the Book of Enoch has gaining points in your wife. I don't think so. And here's a big one for you guys. Do you love your wife as you love yourself? Do you truly care about her as you love yourself? As you husbands love yourself, do you love your wife that way? The husband is to love his wife. He's responsible for the love in the home. The husband sets that love temperature. The moment he walks in the door from work or from outside, there's many times been where I've rushed home and I've gotten mad because I saw something that, because sometimes you come home and there's disaster going on in the house, right? You go and the dog's pooped on the floor and you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And you just start going off. And then all of a sudden the love meter just went like from loving to, yeah, my dad's in a really bad mood, right? And we are responsible for the love in the home. Husband sets the love tempo. We are to love. Do you look for ways to show love to your wife? Do you speak her love language? I love gifts. That's my love language. But I can't, you know, if Rebecca, she doesn't. She could care less about gifts. I buy her Nike stuff, and she's like my dad. It's like, eh, it's okay. And that's just, that's what she does, because that's not her love language. And do I consider her to say, well, you got to like what I bought you, or instead of saying, hey, what speaks to her? And I know, Ben, yours is quality time. But how can you show consideration? How can you show love to your wife. And I think that should be a conquest for a husband to know his wife and to say, how can I show God's love to me, towards my wife, towards my family?
Amen. You know, and it's, you know, we read the scripture and it says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And to me, that's, it's a tall order. It's a high calling for husbands. And, you know, I honestly don't understand the mystery of how God can love us because we're unlovable. But the scripture tells us that he loved us first. So that begs the question, what is love? Well, the scriptures tell us God is love according to 1 John 4:16, which says this. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
Amen.
And because God loved us first, and that also then gives us the ability to love. So we read in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. So we know that love is more than just a fuzzy feeling in your belly. I mean, sometimes I don't know, maybe that's just me wanting tacos. I don't know, but it's more than words spoken. Although I will say that words are important.
That's right.
And we'll talk a little bit more about communication here in a little bit. But love is primarily in action. Okay. 1 John 3:18 says this, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So I don't think John is saying not to love in word. I mean, we're supposed to use loving words and that sort of thing. You know, he's saying not only in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And then you go into, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter, and it gives us a little more insights into love. So 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says this, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love, love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So again, going back to it's a tall order. There's a lot encapsulated into what love is. So what are some of the ways that you can show love? You know, I asked my wife before we recorded this episode, you know, kind of what are your thoughts? You know, what are some ways, you know, that I can tell other husbands out there?
That's brave, Ben.
So I've never done any of these, by the way. I'm perfectly on,
she's hoping
on
you
all
will.
Of these points. Yeah. these were just ideas. They're not reality. No, I'm just kidding. I'm guilty of all of these. So first one is active listening. Okay. So what I would say to that is, men, put down your phones, turn off the TV.
Mercy.
Put down that Hot Rod magazine. Quit looking at that floorboard that you've been meaning to fix for the past 3 years and look at your wife and actively listen. Or as my wife likes to say, she says, stop squirreling.
I've never heard that before, Ben.
It's because it goes back to the that movie Up. Do you remember the movie Up?
Squirrel.
And that little dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah, gotcha.
Stop squirreling. So I know a lot of people, they'll be looking at you and then all of a sudden they look somewhere else and it's like, oh man, they're not even paying attention to you anymore. You probably know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Easter egg.
So the next one is listen, not fix. Okay. So men naturally love to problem solve. We like to fix stuff. But many times your wife does not need to be fixed. She just needs an emotional release. She just wants someone to listen to her. And as much as you want to fix something or fix that issue right on the spot, just hold back and listen.
Yes.
And you can fix, you can maybe give an offer for a solution another day, but at the moment or in the moment, just listen, actively listen. Next one is don't belittle. So when your wife frustrates you, not that my wife has ever frustrated me, or maybe you don't agree with her, you know, or her opinion or her thoughts or her logic. Simply holster your weapon and choose words wisely. Remember, she can pick up on your facial expressions and your body language too. So don't be harsh and don't speak to her in a condescending manner. And again, we're going to talk more about communication here in just a few minutes. So yeah, I told you this one was going to be a hard one. Learn to speak her love language. So Sasso mentioned this a few minutes ago. Gary Chapman is the author of 5 Love Languages. And he offers a love language quiz on his website, which is really cool. So you can go on there. Your wife can go on there. Husbands can go on there. They even have one for kids, teens. So you can learn love languages for your entire family. You can learn how to speak in their love language. So I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes. But I highly recommend it for husbands and wives to learn each other's love language. So the five, I think the 5 are acts of service, gifts, words of affirmation, quality time, and physical touch. So those are the five love languages. And those are all covered in the book, Five Love Languages, again, by Gary Chapman. If you get a chance to go to a Gary Chapman marriage conference, I highly recommend that as well. It's an amazing conference. It's like a one-day conference. And just check your area, check your local churches. We had one here, I think, just a couple years ago, and it was amazing. So once you know your spouse's love language, then you guys are going to know how to communicate. Because a lot of times what Gary Chapman says is you speak one language and she's speaking another language and you guys are just totally missing each other. You're showing love, but she doesn't receive it as that. And he's showing she's showing him love and he misses it because it's not his love language. So definitely check that out. It's kind of a big deal. And I wanted to ask Rebecca at this point, do you have any tips to add to that?
Yikes.
I have an example of the listen, not fix. I'll tell you one from lots of years ago. Nate was an infant. I had just had him. He was exhausting. I had gone back to work when he was 8 weeks old, and there was some conflict in the house. I was learning how to balance work and sleep and feeding him and failing really at all of it. And my in-laws were at the house, and we had a very small house at the time. And I was, frankly, chewing Sasso out in the closet, the master bedroom closet, because I didn't want my in-laws to hear me.
The walls were thin.
Yeah, they were. They probably heard. I wasn't very discreet. But I had had it. There were lots of different factors. And he's looking at me, and he finally is like, well, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to listen. Like, and it was...
So what do you want me to do?
And that, it was so... Nate was an infant. He's 18 now. So that many years ago. But it was really hard for him to go like, you're telling me things and you're not letting me do anything. You're not telling me what to do. I can't fix this. I just need to sit here and listen. And that's really, yes, that's exactly what I needed him to do. So that I could be able to vent these frustrations out loud to him as a woman, as a wife, in a safe space, without him trying to fix everything. Don't give me advice. Don't tell me what to do right now. That's not the space. It was just time to let me vent. So that was one example of that, and I definitely agree with that. A couple of things that are meaningful to me specifically, and maybe not all wives, but to me specifically, is ask my opinion. And really mean it. Listen, doesn't mean you have to take my advice, but seriously consider it. Understand that there's a different perspective. This goes for husbands and wives. There's a different perspective that they bring to a situation. Wives tend to be more emotional. They tend to see the people aspect a little bit more. So listen and really take that into consideration in something. You know, ask her, what do you think about this? I'm thinking I want to do this, but what do you think about that? Another thing is entrust her with your feelings. I think, I'll speak for Sasso. Sometimes he doesn't share his fears or his anxiety about something, or his disappointment, or his regret. He more easily shares his joy and his excitement and his hope, because those are safe things to share. And that is special too. But I also want to be able to hear about his sadness. I want to hear about, I'm worried about this, or, you know, hey, this is something I'm concerned about. It makes me feel as if I'm entrusted as his best friend to share those feelings with him. So those are just a couple of tips I have.
Awesome. Thank you for that. I have to write those ones down. They'll be in the show notes. So don't forget to check out the show notes.
I'm learning something myself.
Sasso was like, whoa, I didn't know all this.
Mercy.
That'll be in the show notes, Sasso. There
I'll
you go.
I'll make him listen to it on the way home from tacos.
In Chandler.
Taco Tuesday.
Very nice.
Well, there's a couple more things I kind of wanted to add to this. A couple of just some principles wanted to add to this list. One thing is that, and this is, I'm speaking for myself because this is me. We men have the high tendency to be selfish. And it's one of the reasons men have difficulty with loving others. However, having a humble attitude and preferring your wife's needs above your own will flourish your marriage. Husbands, would you just do me a favor and meditate on this verse that I'm about to give you? Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And I know it's saying to count others, but fill in that blank with your wife. Count your wife more significant than yourself. And another biblical principle that I wanted to share with you is to resolve conflicts as soon as possible. And I realize that sometimes you might get into a heated argument or an exciting conversation, as some people call it.
Fussing.
We're fussing. That's what my mom called it.
There you go. Quit your fussing. Simmer down. So when you're in the moment, and I know it's difficult to resolve in the moment, but take a little time to cool down and then have a meaningful conversation, okay? Ephesians 4:26-27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." When I say take time to cool down, I mean like an hour or two, not a week or a month. These verses tell us to be angry and sin not. Anger is an emotion. But as a believer, you don't have to act out because of your anger. That's called self-control, which is fruit of the Spirit. And then the verse says not to let the sun go down in your anger. In other words, make things right quickly and as soon as possible, okay? Maybe you need to seek forgiveness and restitution. And lastly, and it's important because it's interesting because it's part of the verse that says, do not give the devil a foothold. It's like, don't let the devil get in there, because I feel like when you let that go, when you let those things go, that's when that bitterness creeps in, and that bitterness turns into resentment. Mm. And it's a really bad thing. So in our last episode, we spoke about wives respecting husbands. And then obviously in this episode, we're talking about husbands loving their wives. So I just wanted to do a quick plug here. Pastor Emerson Eggerich, author of Love and Respect. He's got a book, and I think he's got a video series also. But anyway, he calls it the love and respect connection. But he goes on to say that when this connection is broken, it creates what he calls the crazy cycle, which is this: without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. And this is a vicious cycle that will ruin a marriage. And this is what I'm talking about. So you need to settle that conflict immediately or as quickly as possible. Again, it's hard to do in the moment, but it's very important. And it's important for men to love. You know, part of love is to forgive and to seek forgiveness. Again, otherwise bitterness creeps in and you have some terrible results. You know, unresolved conflict leads into bitterness and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, and I think Sasso is going to talk a little bit more about bitterness.
Yeah, bitterness we all know is not good. And that's, as they say, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die from it. And many times when I've been bitter towards anybody, I know from experience now that person could care less about me and I'm caring about them. And they're like, oh, what did I do? Like, I see nothing wrong. So in a relationship, when you live with someone 24/7, especially when you work from home, there's no relief. I'm just kidding. But there's no outlet. You have to deal with it. And if you don't, and I was kind of worried when we started working from home that maybe we would bump heads a little bit. But Rebecca goes on her side of the house, which helps. I go on my side of the house and we work, and we'll come together for lunch, and I'll say things to her and she'll say things to me periodically during the day. When
kind of reminds me of a boxing match. You go to your corner, you go to your corner.
Pretty much. Yeah. That, it ding, helps. Ding, ding, you know? Ding. And then the bell rings for lunch. Who can get mad at food? You know, so not tacos all the time, but anyways, save salad. Thank you. And so you have these two people living in the same home and you have to deal with things. But it's been good. I haven't, no complaints. We haven't gotten a fight during work throughout the day. So praise God for that. But Colossians 3:18, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And yeah. why would he say this? Why would he say, "Husbands, love your wives," and be not bitter against them? Because here's a newsflash: because he knows we get bitter towards them. Yeah. He knows sometimes when I get mad, I go to the very edge of the bed, and if Rebecca Lake so happens to touch me, I like go even further away. And I'm 200 pounds, so like when you get to, I mean, I'm about falling off the bed there, you know, because I'm bitter, right? And it's a terrible place to be. And I remember I'd be working, And I used to go to work at 5 in the morning. I had to be there at 5 in the morning. I'd be mad at Rebecca, and it'd be like 7, and I wanted to call her and say, hey, good morning. And then I forgot, like, oh, yeah, I'm mad at her. And I wouldn't call her. And I'm like, and I thought about that. And I go, Sasha, you're so stupid. Why are you doing that? Just make it right. And yeah. Forgiveness is the enemy of bitterness. When you forgive someone, bitterness is not like that, because forgiveness is letting it go and not harboring it and holding against them, but just saying, I forgive you. And I will say Rebecca was always, usually 95% of the time, the first one to say, I'm sorry. And many times it wasn't even something that she had done, but I did something to her, made her mad, so she got mad at me, and we got in this fight. But I'm the one that started it, because I was bored for the day, I guess, and just wanted to poke the bear. And the bear came out of hibernation with the claws out. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. And then I would get mad and get bitter. But we are to forgive. The Bible says, be not bitter against your wife. Your wife is not there to be for someone to be bitter against. That goes for everybody, especially in a marriage relationship. Ephesians 4:31 through 32, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here it is, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he's saying, hey, get the bitterness, get the wrath, get the anger, get all that evil speaking out of the way. Put it away from you with all malice. Put it away. But here's what the opposite of that coin is. The other side, if you flip it over, is be ye kind one to another. And if you're kind one to another, you're tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And in any relationship, Todd's here as a guest. He has a roommate, and I'm sure with his roommate, it's a matter of always constantly forgiving, because there's offenses. There's like, hey, that was my Chinese food in the fridge, and oh, I didn't know I ate it. And I would get so mad about, Rebecca knows about the dumbest things. I'm pretty particular about tea, Ben. You know this. I have 2 gallons in my fridge at all times.
Obsessive.
Obsessive. So if I get down to 1 gallon, I'm like, who drank my tea? And I saw a gallon, but I want 2. And I used to get mad about these things. And God says, Sasa, and I get better. I mean, I know it sounds silly because I'm passionate about dumb things sometimes. And God says, Sasa, put that away. Be kind. And I think husbands often forget that you prayed for the wife that God gave you. And then you get bitter at what he gave you, just like the children of Israel. He fed them. And they like, oh, where's meat? Oh, yeah. We don't have bread. Oh, it's bread. We're tired of this. And that's because we're the same way, right? All right. So we should be mindful of how we treat the one God has given us. God has given us this wife. We should be careful how we treat her. We should not be bitter towards her. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. And attaineth favor of the Lord. We are to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. God help us to realize that, man, we've gained the favor of the Lord, that he's given us a wife. He's given us a good thing. He's given us a helpmeet. He didn't make Eve to be I'm going to get at Adam. I'm going to make his life miserable. And that's how many men view their wife, Ben. They're bitter. And Rebecca knows that their husbands are miserable and they're bitter towards their wife. And God says, hey, that ought not to be. Do not be bitter against them. So I challenge you in these areas. Are there areas in which you need to submit to your spouse, that you need to come under her, that you need to get to know her? Are there areas that you need to ask for forgiveness? Many times in our life, we'll commit an offense and then we just move on, but we don't make it right. And that's not right. If we offend, we need to make it right. We just can't say, oh, she'll get over it. Like, yeah, she knows that's the way I am. Doesn't mean it's right. We need to ask for that forgiveness. Yeah. Rebecca's looking at me like, yeah, you do. I have a list here. I'll show you when we're done. She may bring it up. She may bring it out in the podcast. I don't know. We didn't talk about this beforehand. Is there ways you need to ask your wife for forgiveness? Maybe you've been bitter towards her and you're saying, well, you don't know my wife. You don't know the things she's done. You don't know blank, 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 whatever that might be. But what has God forgiven you of? Everything. Did he ever put a line in the sand and said, hey, that's the last straw. We're done. He's never said that to you.
Amen.
Do you know to watch your words around your wife? And there's some times when Rebecca will say something to me and my first thought or reaction, because my mind, I don't know, it at a million miles a second, it's already given words to boom, to come out, and I have to stop it. Like, stop, stop, stop. It's a disaster about to happen. And in my mind, just today, I'm teaching Kate how to drive. Well, yeah. And there was something that came to my mind because she was like not doing something I wanted her to do. And God says, Sasa, don't say that. That's not kind. I'm like, but it's funny and he'll like it. And he said, don't say it. And that's the same thing. We have to watch our words. We have to say, hey, is this kind of what I'm going to say to my wife? Is it godly? Is it pleasing to the Lord for the gift that he's given me? And if you're bitter, how is that working out for you?
So I want to just take a few minutes and talk about communication in a marriage, because I feel it's super important. That's another thing that my wife had mentioned, is that marriages need good communication. So I'm going to quote a verse, and I'm going to admit it now. I'm going to take it out of context, but there's a little bit of truth in the first part. Well, it's all truth, but it's truth in the first part that applies to communication. So just kind of roll with me for this. 1 Corinthians 2:11a says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him?" So in other words, if you don't communicate your thoughts, how will anyone know what you're thinking? And I strongly believe that communication is one of the most important aspects of marriage. And one thing I've observed in marriages that struggle is the lack of communication. And in fact, in a recent marriage conference, in fact, it's the one from Gary Chapman, I heard a statistic that 50% of wives have non-communicating husbands. And so I think that's a terrible thing. Communication is an act of the will. It's a choice. And I realize that everyone has different personalities, and some are more quiet than others. I tend to babble a lot. I like to talk. My wife is completely the opposite. And regardless of your personality, communication is 100% necessary. Communication develops unity and oneness, and it's how we share life with our spouse. So here's three levels of communication that I feel are important. I'm sure there's more than just the three that I'm about to list, but these are just three that kind of came to mind that seem important. So the first one is day-to-day events. This is huge. My wife and I usually try to discuss our schedule for the week on Sunday night. I break out my calendar and I, you know, kind of go through the calendar and look through what's going on. She tells me what's going on with her, and we try to just kind of get it all squared away. And I do this because I'm forgetful, and I'll still ask her every day, but that's besides the point. We still talk about it, and it just helps me to understand what's going on so that, you know, nothing blindsides us, or it helps avoid conflict. And then another one is decisions that need to be made. So my wife and I have always talked through our decisions, and most of the time she has insight and perspectives that I just don't have, and making decisions becomes more easier because we talk through it. And even when we go out to eat, I always ask her, what do you feel like? And half the time she's like, oh, I don't know. What do you feel like? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you feel like? And we end up going to like McDonald's or something stupid. No. I'm just kidding. Well, no, we go to tacos. That's what we do. We go to tacos.
And then Ben, with Rebecca, I mean, she'll say, well, I don't care. And so I'll pick the restaurant I know she doesn't want to go to. And then she's like, well, and then I said, well, you care, then tell me where you want to eat. Because if you give it, we're going to go get a burrito or something. You know,
I simply reserve the right to veto. So.
Well, there you go.
That's everything. Like Popeye's chicken, veto.
Yeah. Snap. What about Winco? Winco chicken?
She's okay. She's okay with that. That's a safe wow. place. But sometimes church gets out a little bit late, and then the fryers are down. And
Oh, Whataburger. Whataburger.
Yeah, that's true.
You always eat Whataburger.
All right, sorry, Ben. Sorry. We go to Taco Talk again.
We always get into food, man. I tell you. So another level of communication would be when conflict arises. So we kind of already talked about this, but it's a big one. So you have to deal with your temper, your anger. Otherwise, again, bitterness is going to creep in. And I'm not advocating having a shootout at the OK Corral, but I'm just saying you need to holster your weapon and deal with your conflict in a self-controlled manner so that you can resolve it. And man, you need to remember, actively listen, don't squirrel. Just like my wife says, don't squirrel. Okay. And another thing is don't be reloading your pistols while she's talking. Okay. That's kind of what that means, I guess. Don't squirrel. Don't reload your pistols. Put them away and listen. So try to understand where your wife is coming from. So kind of put yourself in her shoes. Maybe she has some valid points. I mean, actually think through it. And that's where that active listening comes in. If you're not listening, guess what? Your mind's going to be somewhere else. You're going to be reloading those pistols, and you're not even going to take into consideration anything that she's saying. So a couple of weeks ago, we did the recording for, wives respect, her husbands. And so it's kind of, I guess it's not funny, but it's interesting. My wife and I had a what did you guys call it? A
spat?
A fuss.
A fuss. Yeah. We had a fuss. A
disagreement.
Okay, we had a little fuss right before we recorded. Okay,
oh,
I was communicating something to her, And she made a comment, and I felt she was on the attack. So I pulled my pistols out, and I started blazing guns, which is a really bad thing because we were about to do a podcast on Wives Respect Your Husband. So I had to I didn't let the sun go down on my wrath that night. I had to do it even before the podcast. So made things right. But yeah, it's just one of those things where you just have to holster your pistol sometimes and just listen.
I'm gonna say something here. Sharing, I mentioned it early about sharing your feelings. Don't avoid a conversation because you're scared to have a feeling to share with your wife. If you don't let those things out, then that's where bitterness happens, is because then it starts to build. You don't have to fight every battle. But when something's important to you, when it really did bother you, have that conversation, as awkward as it might be, share those feelings with her, trust her with those feelings, because that does help bitterness to stay away.
And yeah. And what I would just say to that is just make sure that you do it in a self-controlled manner. Don't let your anger drive you.
Yes.
I mean, and to go back to the conflict arise in a self-controlled manner. And I would just say, I think pastors told us this before, is that as a man, Rebecca's not 200 pounds. So if I allow myself to get upset or to get angry, I mean, it can be intimidating to a wife, you know, when you do that. And I just would caution men to not break the spirit of their wives by being aggressive in that way. And when we lose our temper, we come across in, hey, let's throw down way. And that's, I mean, you would think like I would never hurt my wife, but sometimes when we get this anger and we're out of control, it's not good. It's very threatening. And to your kids, like they don't know what's going on. They could be little. It
causes fear.
And it causes fear in your wife, and it's just not good. And we need to be careful of how we deal with conflict and not to be Papa Bear and because it's intimidating. And I'm sure Rebecca at times in her life said, yeah, I've been intimidated by the way you've acted. And it's just, we got to be careful when conflict arises, how we react physically. And as it looks as a it can be very threatening.
Amen to that. And so another thing about communication is I just want to remind men, it's not always natural for husbands and wives to communicate. And men, what you need to do is you need to be intentional with your communication. Okay. Remember, it's not about you. Okay. You know, husbands, seek to learn more about your wife. Just ask questions. For example, learn her interests, likes, dislikes, you know, sort of like when you were dating and pursuing her and you were hanging on to every word she said to you. You know, maybe you guys could read a book together so as to engage in the conversation about the book. Maybe you guys could go for a walk and talk about God's creation. Maybe you could binge watch The Chosen. There's a plug for The Chosen and talk about it. Oftentimes my wife and I will just listen to a sermon together and discuss it, or we'll go grab some tacos and just sit at the taco shop and talk. And it's just a great time. You know, and this is one that I need to do more of. We don't do this, and I'm going to mention it, but I'm saying it. I don't want to be hypocritical when I'm saying it just because I don't do it. But I think it would be a really good one is to pray together. Hmm. I know a lot of husbands and wives pray together, and it's just a blessing. And there's so many more things in which you can communicate, but these are just a few of the important ones that I thought. I just want to stress that communication, it's very, very important.
And Ben, I mean, I would go back and I would, in my personal life, 1 Timothy 2:8, just to reference this, and then I'll talk about it. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I remember pastor preaching a message not long ago about husbands praying with their wives. And I didn't like that message, to be honest. I was convicted.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't come to church to be discouraged. I came to be encouraged. And he's talking about me. Like, why don't he said himself he has trouble praying. Why don't he keep that to himself and work on that? That's his problem. I'm okay. And we all get that way, but God tells us as men, as leaders of the home, that we are to be, how do things get done? But by prayer. He said, by prayer and fasting, these things get done in our life. We're spiritual leaders. We are to lift up our hands in prayer. We are to lead that way. God has given us a wife. God has given us, you know, sometimes a family with the wife. And we're a leader of that home. We're the supervisor. We're the manager. We're the director, whatever, the CEO. And if we don't pray, I'm guilty. I don't even like talking about this because it's something I struggle with, where I say, you know, for New Year 2021, we're going to pray every night. And then it's like April and like, oh man, we forgot to pray like the last three months. And because it's just something we don't, we should be more in the habit of doing.
Amen.
And another thing I wanted to touch on is abusive relationships. Does physical abuse and verbal abuse occur in the Christian home? And sadly, it does. It does occur in the home. And that's not a form of submission that your wife is to be your punching bag, verbally or physically. God forbid that we would treat the gift that God has given us in a way that's sinful and ungodly. Malachi 2:13-16, or if you're Italian, Malachi here, the prophet, he says, "And this have you done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore or why? Because the Lord had been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And why one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take ye to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he that putteth away or divorce his wife for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously." God does not accept our crying, our perceived sorrow, or anything that we do when we're not doing right and we're doing treacherously with our spouse. And Rebecca and I, we grew up in fundamentalism, Christian fundamentalism, and I think there was a lot of pastors in that day that preached the word of God, that did great things for God, but that weren't the husbands that they should have been in their home. This abuse is dealing treacherously with the wife you made a vow to. That's not dealing with that God, the way to your wife that God would want you to. The vow that you said to her, that she, the beautifulest day that you saw her, like, wow, she's makeup on, and Rebecca, you know, sitting there with her gown. I made a vow to her, right? And I'm supposed to protect her. And I'm the very one that where she should feel safe that's hurting her. That ought not to be. And also dishonesty in the marriage, such as an adultery, such as living a double life, is God says, he's not going to hear you. He's not going to have nothing to do with you because you're dealing treacherously with your wife. You being bitter towards her and you forgetting the wife of your youth, you forgetting who you've committed to and who God has given you as a gift. Proverbs 5:18-19 says, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." And God help us to be ravished with the one that God has given us. As a secular song would say, love the one you're with.
Amen to that. You know, and even in that verse in Malachi, I think you mentioned hateth putting away. And I think that was speaking of divorce, right? And
yes, so divorcement.
I've seen this happen with a friend of mine, and it's just, divorce is so destructive. I just want to mention that it's destructive for the kids, it's destructive for the wife, the friends around, everybody deals with the pain of divorce. And so it's no wonder that God hates divorce.
To me, it's one of the ultimate failures of life, that I would rather fail at everything else than fail at my marriage.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah.
God help us in our marriage.
It's destructive.
Amen.
So kind of just bouncing off what Tasa was talking about here with abusive relationships, I'm gonna kind of dip back in a little bit into communication here. But we live in a culture that tells us to speak our minds, and we're so quick to give our opinion so that we can be heard no matter what the cost is, even if we squash someone's feelings. And the problem with that is that we typically hurt those that are closest to us. And I'll shamefully admit that I've done that with my wife countless times, and you know, words hurt. Just like I gave that story just a few minutes ago about the little fuss that we had. I'm definitely sure I said some words that hurt, and in a tone that hurt as well. And this goes back to communication. James 3:6 and 8 says this. It says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." So, I mean, that verse is just so powerful. It talks about the tongue and how destructive the tongue can be. And then Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, this is going back to talking about self-control. When you talk to your wife, how do you talk to her? How do you speak to her? Do you use self-control? Do you practice self-control with your anger? I know I deal with a little bit of anger. And so there's times where I need to just kind of maybe take a deep breath. I know, Sasa, you had a boss who would, I think he would count down from 10.
Count to 10. 10, 9, 8, 7.
Yeah, so I don't know if it needs to be that drastic, but you know, you get the point. Definitely, you have to practice self-control. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of thy mouth, but only such as is good for building up." So, building up, you know, words that affirm or encourage, you know, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So, men, do you speak harshly with your wife? Do you speak to her in a condescending way? Do you belittle your wife when you speak to her? And I know those are some hard questions, but they're questions that you need to really strongly consider.
What I'm noticing here is all of these are choices. It's a choice to speak kindly. It's a choice to put your gun in your holster. My daughter said to me this morning, "That kid makes me mad." And I took the opportunity. I said, "Nobody can make you mad. You're allowing her to make you mad." And in a marriage, it's easy to use the excuse, my husband is not loving to me, or my wife is not submissive to me, or my wife is not respecting me. God holds each partner accountable for the job he's called them to do. There is no excuse for not loving, and there is no excuse for not submitting. It's a choice. Kindness, choosing to be kind with our words, choosing not to say the harsh thing. Honey, how do these pants look? How do I look in these pants? Harsh words.
Put a taco in your mouth. Soon as possible.
Not the time. And that's just, it's because we choose to be kind. It is a choice. I think it's important. Don't use your spouse as an excuse. Don't use your spouse's failure as an excuse for your failure.
I think of that verse in Romans, you know, when he says, "Shall we continue in sin?" I think it's Romans 6, that grace may abound, and God forbid. And that's the same thing, as we use our spouses to live in a continual life of sin by putting, "This is the way I was raised," or "This is what my wife said to me," or "This is what my husband said to me." And it's like, no. We're accountable, and when we stand in the great white throne judgment, it's not going to be a matter of, "Well, I understand. Yeah, Ben made you upset. Like, I get it." There's no, it's like, "Sasa, you sinned," and that's God's line, is sin and not sin. So that's what he holds us accountable to.
Well, and that's kind of the whole thing, right? I mean, it's you take a husband and a wife, and what, there's two sinners, right? And when you have two sinners and you put them together, guess that's going to happen.
D for drama.
Right. And so I think one of the biggest keys in marriage, and this is a hard one, especially for men, I'm speaking from a man's perspective, is humility. I think humility is, and we have an episode on humility. I don't remember which number it is. I recommend going back and checking it out. But humility is it's a difficult thing. In fact, there's a blog I like to read. It's called rootedthinking.com. In fact, I'll put a link to this one in the notes. But I just want to read a quick small little paragraph here. It says, "Humility leads us to confess sin, seek forgiveness, and reconcile with others. Humility brings healing and increases love in the home. Humility leads me to place the needs of others before my own. Pride refuses to accept wrongdoing, holds grudges, and it's resentful. Pride encourages strife and disunity, causing love in the home to grow cold as selfishness rules. A good marriage cannot exist without humility. Pride has been called the origin of all sin. If that is so, humility is the answer for all of sin. It begins with humility before God and leads to humility before others in our relationships. And the surprising fruit is the grace he gives us as he blesses a marriage." And so I just think humility is just a big key to a marriage. I mean, that's where you can experience forgiveness and love, and it's all rooted out of humility.
Amen. I want to go into 1 Peter 3:7. The Bible says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Wow.
And that's to get to know your wife. And I think to get to know someone is to love them. and freedom that lasts, the base of the foundational truth of that is knowledge, the knowledge of God, who God is. Once we understand who God is, things make sense in this world.
Right.
Without that knowledge of God, things don't make a whole lot of sense. And the same thing with your wife. When you get to know her and you dwell with knowledge, and you say, and just as Paul would say, like, it might be expedient for me to do, but maybe not wise. And same thing with a husband. Maybe you have savings for something, and you see a gun, and you go buy it, and you're like, well, I was planning that trip for our 25th anniversary. Like, oh, we can go camping. You know, you'll love it. It's, and you're like, but no, I won't, because I was saving the money for Hawaii, and now we're going to Prescott. I mean, I love Prescott, but it's not Hawaii. There's no beach there. There's Lake Watson, but I mean, it's not nice. It's Hawaii.
It's a rocky beach.
It's just very rocky. It's about 20 feet deep. Anyway, we won't go there, but it's just dwelling according to your wife, treating her as the weaker vessel, taking into account that you're there to support her. You're there to protect her. You're there to love her. And many times we just, you know, like the old, you know, the husband said, you know, the wife said to the husband, like, you know, do you love me? And he said, yeah, I love you. She goes, well, why don't you ever tell me? And he said, well, I told you when you got married, if it changes, I'll let you know. And wow. that's not dwelling according to your wife with knowledge. Maybe she needs words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Maybe she needs a daily I love you, or maybe she needs a physical touch, you know, a hand on her shoulder, or words of affirmation to say, you know, this meal that you cooked was great. Or find something nice to say, even if it's not great. Tonight we had brine pickled chicken, and all I said was, thank you for the meal. I didn't say it was good, but I said, thank you. And that's, and it's dwelling, just being kind in that, and just dwelling with knowledge to your wife, as she is the weaker vessel. And so as we close, just a couple questions I have is to the husbands. Husbands, are you fulfilling the role God has called you to? Are you loving your wife as God has commanded you to love? Do you love your wife as he loved the church? Are you pleasing God in your home, in the role that you have? He didn't call you to be a lot of things, but he did call you to be a husband. He did call you to love your wife. He did call you not to deal treacherously with her. He did tell you to be faithful to your wife, just as he's faithful to us, and he is that loving father to us. You will give an account of how you choose to obey or choose not to obey. And just as I said before, I can blame Rebecca all I want. And my dad would always say, son, you can blame everybody and anybody for the way things turn out, but ultimately you are the one that's responsible. You are the one that will answer for your actions.
Wives in general are very reciprocal. So if the husband is loving, it's easy for the wife to submit. And if the wife is submitting, it's easy for the husband to love. I was telling our son this. I said, when you're looking for someone to marry, he said, not yet. He's a freshman in college. I'm like, not yet.
Yeah, take it easy. Pump your brakes.
Slow your roll. Yeah.
Not yet.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
But I said, look for someone. I said, it's a choice, but look for someone that you see yourself loving, someone that it makes you easy to love them, someone who can easily submit to you. A husband is supposed to lead in his home. And what I learned, actually just like last month, it was kind of a mind blow to me that a husband should seek to help his wife please the Lord,
amen,
not to please him. And I think sometimes, probably early in our marriage, Sasa wanted me to do all the things he wanted me to do. Cook like his mom. he's zipping his lips right now. But, you know, all of the things that you grew up appreciating about home and family and what you your expectations. And I frankly came into the marriage with expectations as well. And a husband's role and it is should be to lead his wife into helping her please the Lord. And same with a wife, is to help her husband please the Lord as well, and not seek to, I want to get what I want out of you. I want to actually help you please the Lord with your life.
And Ben sent me something not too long ago, an article that, you know, when we grow closer to Christ in our relationship personally, we grow more in love with our spouses if they do the same, because we fall in love with Jesus in them. and we love them because of what we see. We see Christ, and it's hard to not fall in love with your wife or a husband that's doing what God is being living for God, and you fall in love with God inside because you can see it through them, and it's just a powerful picture of how God. I mean, to say he's polarizing is an understatement, but how he just draws a couple together when they're both doing,
amen,
doing their role, being obedient and living for God. And it's just, it's an unstoppable force. Not that it's without problems or without fault, because we still have a flesh, but man, it's a powerful thing when we both do what God has called us to do. I'll just close with this, Ben. And to me as a husband, do you want to hear well done? Or do you want God not to be pleased with you and be disappointed that the wife, the gift that he gave you, the favor he gave you, was you wasted that gift? I want to hear well done. I don't want to hear I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I think coming off what you guys were just talking about, it was that Paul Washer message that we heard. And, you know,
thank you.
He was talking about, you know, God gave you your spouse. So God gave me my wife. And the purpose is for my wife to help change me into the image of Christ. And that's my duty as a husband as well, is to help my wife to change into the image of Christ. And so it's just a beautiful thing. And as you grow closer, just like Sasso mentioned, as you go closer to God, yeah, you go closer in your marriage and your relationship. So I want to close with just real quick talking about the purpose of marriage. And in Genesis 2:18, we read, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make for him a helper fit for him.'" And I find it profound that God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I cannot imagine doing life without my wife. It would be very lonely. I don't deal well with loneliness. I don't like to be alone, at least not for a lot of time, or, you know, a significant amount of time. It almost seems like life would basically have no point. And then God institutes marriage right after he created the first woman. So in Genesis 2:24, we read, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And I think this is just beautiful. I mean, one flesh, this speaks to the unity of the husband and the wife. The husband and the wife are united as one. There's a oneness. There's a sharing life together. I mean, that's the purpose of marriage. I know, you know, we've talked about, you know, other men, how they speak about their wives. And when I had a job back in, I don't know, 2009 or so, I remember I was sitting in cubicles and I would hear the guys talk about their wives, and it was not good. I'm just like, man, you guys, like, why are you married? Like, why did you even get married? Ephesians 5:31 says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So husbands, do you see your marriage as a oneness, or do you have separate lives, you know, separate friends, her friends, your church, her car, your bank account, her bank account, your bills, his bills, your time, her time. And I'm not trying to be demeaning in any way, but can I just make a recommendation? Stop living separate lives, because marriage is intended to be in unity. So you see, marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. And so we would never say, I give my life to Christ, but my job is off limits. Or, you know, we can't compartmentalize our lives only giving certain elements to our spouse. The scripture is very specific. The two become one. So guys, this is not a bad thing. It's just the way God intended it to be. It's a beautiful thing. So
I just would encourage you to subscribe. I think the next one on fathers is going to be fantastic. It's going to be amazing, a challenge to dads. And if you see that movie, is it Come to the Father?
Show Me the Father.
Show Me the Father, sorry.
Amen.
I think it'll make an impression on you too. First of all, for our Heavenly Father and for this one, but Just a last closing, husbands, is what do you want your legacy to be as a husband, as a father? Do you, and the most, one of the most important things that I've told my son is that a father can do is to love his wife. If he shows him anything in life, it's like, my dad loved my wife as Christ loved the church, and what a powerful example that is.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Again, I just want to remind you to subscribe to the podcast. Visit us at abundantlife.fm. Don't forget to subscribe, or to follow us on Instagram and on Twitter. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys. Bye. Till next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.